Welcome back to another episode of Exterminatus Podcast, all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric, with me is my co-host Jim.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Doing well, thanks. Ray won't be joining us tonight. He is hard at work, so Ray, we appreciate you doing the job that you do, and we'll catch up with you next week. In the meantime, we had a busy week in the world of competitive Warhammer 40,000. Over 40 events this past weekend and another event that happened last week, but the list finally became available after our recording last week, so we'll go over all those events in summary. But, of course, there was also a little bit of controversy in the world of competitive play. Jim, you want to shed some light on the people behaving badly?
Yeah, so I think if you guys had listened to last week's podcast, you'd be aware that I'm currently participating in a tabletop simulator tournament called Greekhammer. It's basically a 32-team, 8-man WTC style event. We're on currently on the second round of matches, and I'm playing for Team Canada, which is the national team, and we're actually playing the Australians. It's not their national team. I think it's just a team from Australia, but they're called the Aussies. So, so there's a little bit of controversy because a player was caught cheating, and he basically had gone into the code of TTS and modified the dice roller to create a dice roller that basically rolled favorable for him. There was a statement put out by the organizers of TTS, so that's Neil Kerr and Tom, who's and Isaac, who are kind of like the actual WTC TOs. The player in question has been not only banned from the event, but he's been banned from all WTC events for life. So he is now singles and team. So he's now been completely banned. He was also apparently he was involved in another TTS event. This is how bold this guy was. So apparently he got caught, kicked out of the event last week, and then this week he was playing in another event and was using the same cheat. And when the TOs of the WTC found out, they reached out to the TOs of the other event and told them. And yeah, they investigated, and he's using the same dice cheat. So even after getting kicked out of one event, he went ahead and tried to do the same thing. So I don't actually even know the player who it is. So like, I couldn't actually tell you who it was. I'm sure if you do some digging or check out the statements, you might be able to find out. I don't really care, to be honest. It's probably some random loser who thinks it's advantageous to cheat in a video game that's free, but I never really understood people that cheated in video games to begin with, especially multiplayer games. Like, if you want to cheat in your single player game and give yourself infinite gold and whatever, hey, fill your boots. But multiplayer games, I just never really understood the point. So yeah, so he's been banned, and good, I think it was appropriate action was taken by the organizers. There has been steps now implemented by the WTC and the TTS to actually basically cheat proof the dice roller. So some of the coders on a few of the teams are pretty good coders, and they've now basically added software into the TTS maps that we use to help to actually like catch any sort of alterations to the dice code. So now that's been addressed as well. And yeah, so that's kind of the drama. So what do you think, Eric? That seems kind of pathetic, well, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's kind of silly. You said it earlier, you know, cheat on single. I don't even like using cheat codes from game magazines where you can get like free stuff. You know, if you type this in and you level up 200 times or something like that, I don't even feel like doing those. I think that's cheating. Mm-hmm. I think specifically for the WTC, I think, you know, part of what people talk about with that event is not only the team environment, but also the whole national pride. Mm-hmm. And it just puts a huge black mark on your team, you know, as well as, you know, that, oh, you're the country. Like, I know what country this guy's from. I don't know his name. I know his online name. It doesn't help me at all. It's an alias. But it's that whole, ew, what were you doing? And so that becomes very frustrating. You know, it's like, okay, I'm glad to see that the forces that be held them accountable. And we were swift with their actions. And then they clearly had some definitive evidence. So this isn't just a, those dice look a little wonky. I mean, they literally have screenshots of the code and how it's been altered. And it's pretty alarming, to the point where he was actually, not only was it rolling sixes, but he purposely was rolling one so he'd get the rerolls to throw off his opponent. So, you know, oh, I got to reroll ones. Lucky me. Oh, look, they're sixes. So, like, holy cow. So, this, yeah, I don't get it. I've never been a big fan of it. So,
yeah. And I, what I will say is, like, you know, I think when you hear of a story like this, your immediate reaction is to be like, oh my God, this is happening everywhere. Or, this is why I don't like TTS or whatever. First of all, for this specific event, there's over 240 players. So this is the only one player out of 240. His team, there was an investigation done and his team was exonerated. So they were not aware that he was using this stuff. Second, at the actual WTC the last few years in the real life, players were caught with loaded dice. So this is not like a TTS thing. It is just like a general douchebag like life thing where people try to cheat at games, whether it's TTS or real life Warhammer. This kind of stuff happens. Cheating in one form or another is a thing that happens. And I don't want to call it an issue because that would make it seem like it happens a lot. It is something that unfortunately does happen from time to time, both in real life and on video games. And, you know, as long as the community, you know, like the judges dealt with it, you will get caught. You will face consequences. So I'm glad that the punishment was extremely severe, lifetime ban. Like, hell yeah, go judges. That's the kind of like zero tolerance policy that I like to see. And then last thing too, I mean, it's unfortunate for his opponents. I know apparently he had won the Pro Tabletop TTS event in December, this player, and he had won a few other events in the last 2 to 3 months. So I guess this has been kind of an ongoing thing and he eventually got caught. So it's unfortunate that those events have now been kind of ruined, I guess, in some way. But yeah, I just think, you know, the last thing I would want to have come out of this situation is people A, thinking that, you know, an environment like TTS is like rampant with cheating and like, you know, that's why it sucks. And B, to think that like lots of people are doing this kind of stuff. Because the community as a whole, these kinds of things are extremely rare and it happens in real life too. So it's not like, it's not, the medium doesn't really matter. I think obviously given the fact that you're not there in real life, you know, it's a little bit easier probably to get away with stuff. Yeah, I just hope it doesn't bring the community into disrepair.
Yeah. So we will continue to monitor the situation. And again, it's when you think of how many games are played on TTS and this in general, like I said, there's 40 events this past weekend in live Warhammer competition. One incident hopefully does not mar the whole community. So we'll continue. I have to say the community's gotten a lot better. And I know there's a lot of folks out there. This is why I don't play tournaments. I'm like, oh, okay. The two stories I love telling is number one, if I were to rank my five worst experiences playing Warhammer, none of them happened in a tournament. They all happened in a friend's basement, including a guy was upset that he failed his saves with Stern. Is that the special character from the Grey Knights?
I think so, yeah.
Yep. And this is back in the day when we still had metal models, and he was so upset, he picked up the model and chucked it across the room. Right. Fortunately, his aim was a little off and hit me right in the eye.
Right. That's an appropriate reaction, obviously.
Yeah, obviously appropriate. Not a tournament. And interesting, this guy is a guy that got banned from tournaments for his behavior. So wonder why, right? And then the other one I love is... there was a guy in our local area. All the TOs knew who he was. He was on our radar. He was notorious for browbeating his opponents and just poor sportsmanship. And at that point, 40K was kind of in its low, you know, point. It was like the knee deep in 7th edition where competitive play was really dwindling at that point. And everyone was saying, well, X-Wing is such a better game. Everybody's playing X-Wing. And sure enough, I went to my local game store and they were having an X-Wing tournament. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people here. This is pretty impressive. Even though they're playing on smaller tables, they still have, this place is packed. And there he is. There's, you know, the guy in question and he's playing X-Wing and he's up to his old tricks, doing the same old, same old. So I'm like, it's not the game, it's the guy. So
yeah, and I have had caught my friends cheating playing Monopoly and Clue at our house drinking. So even like yeah, it's not a tournament thing. It's just like a human nature thing. And I mean, if you're playing Monopoly and not trying to embezzle money from the bank, are you even playing Monopoly? Like that's you know, a big part of the game. So
I was talking to somebody at work about that. Apparently there's a new version that encourages you to cheat. So yeah. It even has a handcuff.
I always thought that was part of it. Like, you know, giving the wrong change back to the banker, you know, trying to not put as much money into the community chest as you had to, you know, maybe grabbing an extra 100 when you pass go. Like, I always thought that was part of, I mean, it's just like real life, right? Like people, real life corporations, so stealing from everyone. So I figured, you know, it's not really technically cheating.
It's part of the game. So anyway, there were several events this past weekend, as well as the weekend before, that had some actually well-played games. So let's get into those. So let's start with last weekend. Lake of Blood, which was a large tournament down in New Zealand, featured some very interesting lists, and they were just recently brought back to public consumption. So we're reporting this a little bit late. But your event winner was none other than Hayden Korok with Harlequins. And interesting sign of the time, so let's go over that list real quick. He is playing Frozen Stars. He starts off with a battalion featuring a Shadow Weaver, two Troop Masters, both with Choreography of War, one with Darkness Spite, and the other is with only one, just keeping Choreography of War, no second dramatic entrance, I think, or pivotal role, that's what it's called. He has mostly foot troops at this point. So he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 units of 8 troops, and then 1 unit of 5. The unit of 5 is pretty much bare bones. Everybody else is mixed and matched with various close combat accessories, such as 2 units all with caresses, and then like 3 or 4 ablative troops, and then 1 unit with all kisses, with 4 or 5 guys that are there for soak up points. A unit of 5 Skyweavers, all with Haywire and Zephyrglaives, and a Starweaver that transport the 5-man unit. He then owns on an additional patrol. They are Soaring Spite. So these are the guys with the drive-by shooting. It's a Shadow Seer, and then 2 units of 5 troops, all with fusion pistols. And, of course, the obligatory Starweavers to cart them around the field. So,
sounds like pretty standard Harlequinist.
Yeah, as I say, it's kind of hard when you've got a codex of only 7 units to be like innovative, but it's your kind of standard list at this point. And I think the biggest thing there is you're seeing a lot more guys on foot, you know, larger squads as opposed to more in Starweavers. So no big deal.
Cool. Yeah, Harlequins are good. I mean, I've played them a few times in 9th, and they have so many tools, and they just do so many things that are fundamentally different. Like the fallback and charge, advance and charge, ignore terrain. Like they just have so many. And then just like they're, you know, because they have so many troops, like their troops are so good. They really check so many boxes for playing 9th edition, and just so many different tools and tricks. So they're just a great, you know, I actually think it's not having so many units means that like people actually like their standout units are like even better. You know what I'm saying?
For me, all the above. The only thing I would add to is the ability to move over terrain, but also move over opposing models. You get players all the time that just don't, if they haven't had experience playing Harlequins, you're probably going to win that game simply because they just don't recognize advance and charge, and that can go over your screen if you don't position them properly. Just dicing up characters and stuff. And also, they are quite a creative project to
pick. Yeah.
Dan Hayden came in second with Adeptus Hororitas, his army. Also fairly bog standard, but we'll take a look at them. Order of the Bloody Rose. It starts off with Battalion. He also has a Death Cult Assassin. He's got two of those and a Repentus Superior. In the HQ slot, it's got a two canises and canises. That's plural for canis. All right.
I think so.
I'm not sure. Somebody will correct me on that. As well as the Triumph of St. Catherine. 3 units of Battle Sisters, 5-person squads, no special upgrades. A hospital. Boy, I'm having trouble pronouncing. Fire. Thank you. A Preacher and 3 units of Sister Repentius, 1 unit of 5 and 2 units of 8. And then a Zephyrm squad of 8. 2 Seraphim squads of 5, looks like. 2 with Hand Flamers, 1 Superior, 5. Retributor squad of 5, all with Multimelta. A second Retributor, looks like, of 6. Both of them also with a little cherub there, 2 of them. And a third Retributor squad, but only has 3 multi-meltas as opposed to the other ones who had 4. And then last but not least, 3 rhinos to cart around the troop slots.
Yeah, I mean, again, Sisters and Harlequins winning events. I mean, who would have thought? Sisters also have, I mean, they have that Miracle Days mechanic. It's just so strong. Being able to kind of know ahead of time, you know, and making certain things like vehicles auto explode or charges, or making really long, like, if, you know, if I know I can, if I have to make a very risky move to make a 12-inch charge, but I know I can do that, that's like, it just really changes how you play the game. And I can't say enough about how strong the Miracle Dice mechanic is. Not to mention things like Retributors with their multi-meltos and their Cherubs and their, they're just, for the amount of points, like, you're just getting so much damage. And they really benefit from that, like, MSE style list. And this is like, this list is no different. So you're seeing a lot of the similar kind of Harlequin and Sisters lists.
What's the Holy Trinity that everybody talks about?
It's Fire, Melta, and Bolter. Yeah. Bolter? Okay. Plasma. No, sorry. Plasma. I don't know. Is it Plasma? I thought it was Bolta, Flamer, and Fire. And I think there's a strat where if you fire a weapon of, like, each kind, like all three, then it gives, like, +1 to all of them to wound, I think. I'd have to triple check. It's been a while.
No problem. I've been hearing that a lot, and I guess this is supposed to be designed around that. So I was like, oh, okay. I need to learn more about that.
Yeah. So yeah, and I would hate to have to pronounce all the names in the Sisters. There's so many different... the names are so annoying. So...
Anyway, yeah, I still have to struggle with some of those. I mean, they're really cool, and then you look
at Trinity,
them.
Yeah, so it's Melta, Flavor, and Bolt Weapon. Those are the three.
Okay,
so I was right. And it basically gives you +1 of the wound roll for one CP, which is really good.
To every one on the board,
or
one unit of each.
Sorry, just one unit. Yeah. So basically, if you have a unit with, say, like, all three of those items, and you've determined they're all going to fire at one unit, they all get +1 of wound.
Got it.
Not just the weapon, the whole unit.
So that explains the Retributor squads. He's got Combi Flamers on the Sergeant, multi-weapon, and multi-melta, excuse me. And then he's got Bolt, you know, run random guy with a Bolter, or yeah, also a Smackiltrum. There we go. Mm-hmm. More fun.
Yeah, so in that case, I think, like, as long as you get the Bolter in range, which is 12 inches, then everything will get +1 to wound. So the multi-meltas are +1 to wound, which is nasty.
That's nasty. All right.
Especially when they get 6 shots from the Sherbs. Like, an extra, they got to shoot again.
Mm, it's got three of those units. Wow.
They kill vehicles.
And all those heavy Marines that are out there holding objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Dugmore came in with third place with Blood Angels. He starts off with Patrol of, surprise, surprise, Blood Angels. He's got a company of veterans. Excuse me. Company veterans and a company sergeant in the to begin with, and then starts in the HQ slot with a chapter master and a sanguinary priest. Then in the troop slot, it's got a cursor squad, looks like a 5-man squad, then a whole bunch of death company. Wow, they make this hard to read. All I see is, like, every third word is thunder hammer. I think it's only 1, 2, 3, 5. It's only 6 of them. Sorry, it was a lot of. This wall of text. It said Red Death Company and Thunderhammer. I was like, oh my god, what is that? Fast back slot, he's got Inceptor squad, all with plasma, 3-man squad, heavy supports, 3 eradicators, each all with multi-melta. And then in the second detachment, he's got a Vanguard detachment and librarian, 1, 2, 3 units of 5 sanguinary guard, and then a Vanguard veteran squad, also incredibly hard to read. Looks like you got a lot of lightning claws and storm shields. And last but not least, he's got a whirlwind. What's up with that?
Whirlwinds are amazing right now because there's a stratagem that, they shoot things out of line of sight. But second, there's a stratagem that you basically, after you shot a unit, you basically make it strike last in combat. So it's really powerful. So you're seeing him in almost every Marine list right now, competitive Marine list.
Very cool. The other thing they mentioned is in play, he was using the librarian, using Wings of Sanguinius to double move, and then he would be in range for the psychic phase to cast Null Zone, and then therefore all the your invulnerable saves pretty much go away, and then one of the choppy units just slices through you.
Yeah, that sounds not like a good time.
No. Sean Sullivan came in fourth place with a list we haven't seen in a while. That's AdMech. That's right, folks. AdMech made the top 5. This is another one that has fun things to pronounce. Let's have fun with this.
Oh, God.
Here we go. Forge World Mars, and he's also took Dogma of Glory to the Omnissiah. It's got Belisarius Call, Data Lotus, as well as the Tech Priest Manipulus. Not doing bad so far. Yeah. 3 units of Cataphron Breachers, 1 unit of 4, 2 units of 3. A unit of Skitari Vanguard. Looks like all with Radium Carbines. In the Elite slot, he's got not one, but 2 units of 10 Corpusari Electro Priests, and then 1 unit of 10 Fulgrite Electro Priests. He also has got 4 Iron Strider Ballistari, and then a pair of Castellan Robots, and of course an Onager Doomcrawler, and the Obligatory Scorpius Disintegrator. That's a lot of priests. Those are the shooty priests, too. You never see them. You usually see the guys with the staffs.
Yeah, they got a pretty nasty... the mortal wounds that they put out are pretty... not great. Not fun to be receiving.
So I'm just trying anything else. Interesting. I have to read up on the Info Slave stratagem. They're mentioning that a few times. Interesting. Okay. So there you go. There's your top 4 from New Zealand. So I wanted to catch everybody up on that. Moving to this week's action, like I said, lots going on. The only GT event of the weekend was the Salt Classic in lovely Plantation, Florida. So you may have guessed what names came out for this particular event. So in fifth place,
I was following it because I'm in the Brohammer. I'm an honorary Brohammer member. So
nice.
I was following. I'm in their like team chat, so I was following the various sad people. And
we'll see if we can get some insight as we go through the top 5. Then fifth place, Ruben Fernandez with Eldari. And by the way, very cool team name there, Ruben. Miami Dice. That's awesome. Fourth place is Dan Monsalve with Dark Angels, part of the Brohammer team. Third place, Mark Perry playing Chaos. You may recognize him from Art of War. David Uzawa with Space Wolves, also on the Brohammer team. Remember that name later at the show. There'll be a quiz. And in first place, from the Art of War team, John Lennon with Tyranids.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't know who's playing Tyranids. I assume he's playing White Scars.
Yeah, big surprise. So let's take a look at what he is playing. He's doing a High Fleet Kronos Patrol. And the HQ side has got a Neurothrope with a Symbiosis Storm. I believe that's one of their, like, their version of elite equipment. 3 Ripper Swarms, 10 Harmogaunts, and 6 Hive Guard, all with Enhanced Resistance and Impaler Cannons, and an Exocrine.
That means they basically ignore AP 1 and 2, which is really, really nice, especially with their cover.
Yeah, no, true. I didn't think about the cover part. I used to put those on my Tyranid Warriors, thinking that will keep them alive for an extra turn. Then he adds a High Fleet Kraken Battalion, featuring the Swarm Lord, a Hive Tyrant, and 1 unit of 10 Harmogaunts, 1 unit of 20 Harmogaunts, and 1 unit of 30 Termagaunts with Devourers. He also has a Lictor, and, oh yeah, more fun to pronounce.
Diamond Charons?
Thank you, the Forge World guy. He's got one.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not looking at the list, but I'm like, I know what the next 3 models are because they're basically in every winning Tyranid list.
Yep. So one of them has Accelerated Digestion, which I have to look up as well. Not sure what that does.
So this... For those of you guys who are not aware, the Daimikarons, they're a Forgeworld unit. They got a pretty big glow up in the chapter approved or Imperial Armor re-release. Basically, they move, I think, around 14 to 17 inches. I can't remember exactly. They're Kraken, so they can advance. Roll 3d6 for their advances. With a stratagem, they can advance and charge. And then with a Swarm Lord, they can move twice. So you're talking about a monster. Oh, also, I didn't mention, but they ignore all models and terrain when they move. So they're basically a giant flying, super-killing robot. They have around 6 to 7 attacks that all do D3 plus 3 damage flat. And then after they kill you, they fall back from combat 17 inches. So they can actually fall back out of combat with another stratagem. And they can fight twice as well. So these are like basically nuclear missiles that you launch into the opponent's army, kill something, and then jump back behind terrain because they ignore terrain. So you can basically kind of shoot them through walls, go in, kill stuff, and then pull them back. So it's a really nasty, they're just really nasty models. They're big monsters too, so they're hard to kill. Less than 18 wounds, which means you can hide them behind terrain. Another cool piece of tech is the Lictor and the Termagaunts. So using the Lictor, there's basically a stratagem where the way the combo basically works is the Lictor can come down, and for 1 CP, you can basically place the Termagaunts with him, like around him. So it's basically a way to... So normally, if you want to put the Termagaunts in Deep Strike, you'd have to put them in Strategic Reserves, right? So they can only really come on Board Edge. But there's a tiered stratagem that allows you that when you bring your Lictor on, any other units in reserve and strategic reserves, you can essentially bring in with the Lictor. So you can actually bypass the strategic reserve requirement of you having to bring in your models on the sideboard edges within 6 inches or on the back edge after turn three within 6 inches by this combo. And so you basically drop a 30 block of shooting termagants bomb anywhere on the board with your Lictor, and then they just drop 90 shots that can explode sixes with the right stratagems or do a lot of damage as well. So it's a nasty little kind of bomb, and if you're not ready for it, it can be very, very, very scary to kind of be on the end of that.
Thank you for sure. I've seen that stratagem. I didn't think of linking those two units together. That's pretty crazy.
And I know that because it was used both the Diamond Carons. I know all this. Well, the Diamond Carons and the Tyranid were successfully used against me last week when I played Alex McDougall, who is our Canadian Tyranid hero. And I know him and John do talk quite a bit Tyranid stuff. So
good to know. Yeah, the Diamond Caron reminds me of the old that whole idea. It was with the old list where they had like you'd sneak out a whole bunch of Termagants or Hermagants. And then you'd attack, and if you didn't kill what you needed, you used Onslaught to pull all the way back. Kind of like you just like these long tendrils that went out and slashed things and came back. So now we just replace them with large monsters.
Oh, yeah, well, they're basically, the Diamond Carons are like better gene stealers.
Yeah.
They're like, great. This list plays similar to the Kraken gene stealer list, where there's like, you know, 221 gene stealers, but like way better, because the Diamond Carons are scarier. And because it's an Elite Edition, they do just so much damage. They basically will one shot like a Night Titan. Wow. and then run off.
Look at my Forge World book and double check that guy. Don't remember that.
Yeah, he's nice. So congrats to John and Mark.
Yeah,
and all the guys at Brohammer. Good job.
So David Azoa, again, remember that name. There will be a quiz later. Came in second with Space Wolves. Take a look at his list real quick. Starts out with a battalion, and he has Bjorn the Fell-Handed, Librarian Terminator Armor, with Living Lightning and Murderous Hurricane, as well as and a Primaris Tech Marine. Interesting. In the troop slot, he's got an Infiltrator Squad of 5, and wow, this is really hard to read. 1, 2, 3. 3 units of 5 Infiltrators. Sorry about that, folks. He also has 2 Redemptor Dreads, all of his pretty much standard, yeah, Onslaught Gatling cannons and the like. And then he's got a unit of Wolfguard Terminators. Holy cow, this is really hard to read. Storm Shield, Storm Bolters, a few odds and ends and heavy weapon slot. Sorry about that. And then he's got a Cyber Wolf, just a single. Interesting. And 4 Inceptors, also in the heavy fast attack slot. All with plasma, with the plasma gun. Sorry about that. That was really hard to read. It did not come out well. But an interesting list. Gives them a lot of flexibility, is what I'm guessing, with deployments, with all these Phobos armors.
Yeah, Phobos armor has a lot of flexibility. There's a really nice, I'm not sure if he's taking it, but there's a really nice stratagem that lets you basically fire and fade with them, with your Warlord. So I don't know if he's got any units that do that. Lets you move in the shooting phase, essentially.
Let's see if I can find that. Give me a sec.
But I'm not... it's cool to see Space Wolves though doing well. I know a lot of people have kind of they're not as cool as the other chapters, but nice to see them place.
No, they did pretty well. He took Hero of the Chapter as well as Tome of Malkador. So it looks like he did not take that. Okay, pretty cool. And then in third place was of course Mark Perry playing Chaos.
My boy Mark Perry, my chaos soulmate.
All right, he started off with an Emperor's Children Patrol featuring Lucius the Eternal. It's supposed to be a Dark Apostle, but there's a misprint, so it says it's dank? A Dank Apostle.
No, that's not a misprint. That is literally how Mark writes Dark Apostle every time in our group chat as well. he always called it Dank Apostle.
Oh, so he's got 2 of those. he has the Disciples, that's what that is. 1 unit, 15 Noise Marines, 2 Blastmasters, 13 Sonic Blasters, and the Icon of Excess. 10 Chaos Terminators, all with Combi Bolters and Lightning Claws, and 2 Reaper Cannons. 2nd unit of 8 Terminators, Lightning Claws, Combi Bolters, Icon of Excess as well. And then he has a Heretic Astartes Patrol featuring Ahriman on Disc with Warp Dime, Prescience, and Diabolical Strength. Mm-hmm. 5 Plague Marines, Taliban, Foul Blight, and... Thank you. And Chaos Spawn. And then last but not least, he adds a Supreme Command Detachment, Vigin Mortarion.
I love this list. This is like, this is the prototypical Mark Perry Chaos soup. It's like just a hodgepodge of all sorts of things linked by like keywords you didn't even know existed. And just, this is for me, like how I love Chaos. And I'm actually really sad that after, I assume, the new Chaos book drops, we're not going to see lists like this anymore, because what we're seeing is that they're really working hard to remove a lot of these kinds of cross-faction synergies. You know, we saw it a lot with Death Guard, with the way that they changed keywords. We saw it with, you know, Space Marines as well, trying to kind of really discourage that souping. But for me, this is kind of, you know, Chaos is like the soup faction as far as I'm concerned. It makes the most sense from a background wise. It makes the most sense from, I think it's the coolest. And I just love all these kinds of little tricks. So I'll be sad to see these lists go. But yeah, really interesting list. The Terminators for me are the heroes. The Emperor's Children stratagems from Faith and Fury right now are just, they're just really, really good. So one of them allows you to basically, after you roll a charge roll, to change any dice to a six. So if you're coming out of Deep Strike with Terminators, you roll 2d6, and all you need to do is get a three or higher on one of the dice, and then you automatically make your charge, basically, because you can turn the other one into a six. And you get to use that stratagem after you see the dice roll. So sometimes if you're lucky, you don't even need it. They also obviously strike first. Same with the Noise Marines, which means when you combo that with a Foul Blight Spawn, which means other units don't count as charging. Guess what happens when the Terminators are charged and the Foul Blight Spawn is close by? It means the Emperor's Children get to strike first. So there's some good, really good synergy there as well. Obviously got Ironman in there to warp time around Mortarion, who's a big threat. And then, yeah, like the Noise Marines, you know, they're also really nice. So I do like this list. It's a big hodgepodge. And it is one of those lists where, like, you really need to have a mastery of the faction to play, because it is, there's so many moving parts and kind of different things in this list to make it work. So
obviously he did really well with the list, and you think very highly of it. Just those who would say this is all killing, no holding objectives, well, what are we missing here? How's he scoring primary points with this?
Well, I mean, he's still got, like, you know, Mortarion's gonna be in your face you know, turn one with the warp time, so you can go 20 inches. So on most boards he's gonna be in your face turn one. So I think the goal here is to use the Terminators and other things to kind of clear out and stay on objectives, and then kind of just, you know, make them come to you, right? So
makes sense. All right.
Like a unit of 10 Emperor's Children Terminators is only 280 points. So they're really cheap.
Yeah, both those. Then the larger one he had with kitted out was only 300 points. So it's pretty interesting that, you know, you can pack that much punch and that much resiliency into that few points. I was like,
ooh. Yeah. And if you're feeling extra cheeky, you can actually even give them combat drugs to give them an extra attack. So that goes up to, so it's two attacks base, three for the charge, four for the lightning claw, five with the drug. So five attacks each per Terminator on the charge. So we're talking 50 attacks from a unit of 10 with prescience and the icon of excess. They're proccing Death to the False Emperor on fours against Imperium. Right, so Icon of Excess lets you proc Death of the False Emperor on a 5+ instead of a 6+. Prescience gives you +1. It's not unmodified. They haven't changed that yet. So you put 50 Terminators into an Imperium unit, hitting on twos, rerolling ones, where every 4+ gives you an extra attack. Like, it's just a complete blender. Like, it's gonna just blend anything it touches. It's absolutely atrocious. Mm-hmm. My unit in my current Death Guard list, I charge 10 into a unit of salamanders, and even with just proccing on sixes, my 40 attacks did 48 hits, so it's like pretty amazing. And then full rerolls to wound, right? So with the lightning claws, which is really nice, and then potentially a +1 to wound from Veterans of Long War. So they're just not that it's really needed with lightning claw guys, but it just gets completely outrageous.
Oh my gosh. All right. Other notables here at the event. Ninth place, Nick Donavati. But before you get all concerned, his first loss was to John Lennon and the eventual winner. And his round five loss was to Ruben Fernandez, who came in fifth. So I think still a solid outing for the Art of War gentlemen. And your Wooden Spoon winner from this particular event is none other than Russell Jordan, going a perfect 0-6 on the evening. 119 points. Matter of fact, it wasn't until his last game that he broke the 20-point barrier with 49 points. And he was playing Asuriani. And, oh, yeah, we're not going to read this list. Oh, my God. It is just a wall of text. It's something about Ulathe, a lot of Swooping Hawks, and a lot of I think it looks like a Jet Seer list off the top of my head. Looks like that's what it is. If you're interested, hit them up on Facebook. Oh my God. Sorry, guys. It is
that's
literally
what happens when you have bad formatting.
Yeah, it looks like it's just some bad formatting, but I was like, it's literally a wall of, like, every like bullet is listed out. I'm like, oh my God. All right, so that's it. So that is your Salt Classic GT. So big names there, and they will definitely have an effect on the ITC top 10.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
But that was the only event this weekend. So now we're going to play a little round of big names at small events. So we'll now move on to Indianapolis, Indiana, for the Lockdown 40K. Daniel Sansone coming in first place with Aaron Erlong coming in second. Congratulations, gentlemen.
These are RTTs, correct?
These are all RTTs, correct. So we're just going to zip through these. Next one is in one of my favorite places in the world, Mahwah, New Jersey.
I've never been there or heard of it, but sounds cool.
Yep, it's right outside New York City.
Why is it one of your favorite places?
Yep. New York, it's the Lord Mortis Challenge. And taking first place at that event was TJ Lanigan, another force of chaos.
Chaos, man. Bringing the heat.
Yep. Who knew? Hidden somewhere deep within the Codex, there's a winning list. Right here in Phoenix, there were actually two RTT events this weekend. I didn't make it to either one of them. Love my work schedule. But the Smite Club Winter GT, Winter RTT, sorry, was won by Dan Olivas, who is your 2018 Inari champion. And he was actually still playing pretty much the same list. He dropped the Inari part and still playing pure kind of a mishmash of Craft World and Drukhari. But it's pretty much the same list, so it's still working for him. Moving up to Osseo, Minnesota, which I heard was like 40 below for the Happy Shovels RTT. Must be a reference to the amount of snow they've had there. Ben Sherwin is able to take the top spot in that particular event. And last but not least, the Dragon's Lair monthly RTT for February was won by Nathan Fennell. You're like, who's Nathan Fennell? He's part of that quiz we're going to have at the end of the game. So, mark
that. I've been studying because I didn't take notes. Only for the listeners have to take it.
That's right.
I get a pass.
Get a quick pass there. In news other than tournament news, it looks like we'll be finally getting some official GW leaks about the new Drukhari Codex. The what to expect for this week coming up. They said to expect to hear more about Drukhari. Don't know if that means rules or revisiting of lore or just reminded that Vect doesn't have a model. I'm not sure.
Which is, like, I think a huge shame because all the 40K armies have been getting, like, centerpiece models like Silent King, Archaon, Ghazghal, the new Abaddon, like, I don't know, Space Marines, everything. I just feel like it was such a missed opportunity to finally drop a Tantalus-sized Vect with a harem of slave girls and other, like, depravities. And, you know, you look at some of the cool models coming out of AOS as well, like the new Slaanesh, like, Glutton Cart or whatever it is called, and, like, some of the big centerpiece, like, Teclis for AOS. So I really like this idea that there's these, like, centerpiece models for these armies. And I'm really sad that we don't get a Vect.
Yeah, I just...
Or maybe we do and they just don't know about it because it's Vect. Like, maybe he shows up...
he just shows up at them.
That's how secretive it is.
I'm so disappointed. There's also plenty of other models that just need updates or just, you know, there's one pose in Finecast and it's... You know, are we getting a plastic kit? I'm optimistic, but not barely, you know. I'm prepared to be disappointed. How's that? So,
yeah.
But rules-wise, they may come through on their promise. So another leaked instruction manual, and you have to read through the tea leaves very carefully. So the Venom this time is what has been released. And interesting enough, plus one attack, and you're probably thinking yourself, it's a vehicle, big deal. It's weird. Drukhari vehicles are actually halfway decent in close combat. Hit on fours, three attacks now. But the other key thing is they made a change to blade veins. In the past, they were a flat strength 4, AP minus 1, 1 damage, which for, you know, it's okay. It's nice on a Reaver bike, but didn't really add up too much. They've now changed them to user plus 1. So they're still strength 4 on a Reaver bike. We don't know if combat drugs will stay the same or not, so you could bump them up to strength 5. But that means on Venoms, they're now strength 6, and on Raiders, they're strength 7.
I mean, it makes sense. Drakari vehicles are basically flying knives, so with all those surfaces, so it makes sense that they're slightly killy.
But also, this is the way 9th edition plays. There's a lot, you know, in the past, in 8th edition, what you do is you would charge the vehicle in first, soak up Overwatch, then your fragile witches would jump in. Nowadays, what you kind of want to do is, you know, send the vehicle in with the guys in it and dare your opponent, go ahead, blow it up, and have the OPSEC units come out.
That's kind of, yeah, it's kind of annoying.
So the fact that, it, you know, 3 attacks, you're still not going to be mowing, you know, whole units down, but, you know, if there's 1 or 2 guys there, it's something. It's not bad. I'll take it.
Yeah, it's better than that.
So I was pretty excited. So we'll see what else comes out. Hopefully we'll have some more updates during the week. Again, check out our Facebook page for breaking news. So we'll check that out.
And, did you also get a chance to look at the silhouette of the model that they're going to be revealing tomorrow?
Yes.
On the Monday. What are your predictions? Any predictions? I think it's probably a vampire. It has a very vampire, like similar to the vampire warband that they previewed for Warcry. Doesn't look 40k to me, to be honest, which is sad because I kind of feel like AOS has been getting a lot of love lately. And like 40k has just kind of been in limbo. So yeah, So that's my guess. A vampire. So
I agree with you there, but I am intrigued by this. It's every Monday in the month of March there'll be a new model. So I'm excited. I'm like, okay.
I'm really curious to see if they do anything to kind of catch up on the release schedule. Like if
you had this big point, it didn't come out.
No, I guess I'm just curious to see if they do anything, because right now it feels like they said that they were going to go back to doing regular weekly schedules of releases, but in that the email they sent out, they basically said that's not happening. I know the UK is getting a little bit better, but obviously, it's just not clear, especially given the fact that, you know, 9th edition just came out, and I think there is a huge kind of backlog of books. Like we need to get these books out as fast as possible for the new armies. And I just hope it doesn't drag out to like 2-3 years, you know what I'm saying? Before the 9th edition codexes are out. So I hope there is a plan to get them out within a year, kind of like they plan to do for 9th, even though it didn't happen, or for 8th.
Yeah, there's still a lot of books out there. We still have that campaign book floating out there. It's just someday. But yeah, sooner the better. All right, so let's get into your ITC top 10. As we mentioned, quite a bit of movement over all this activity we've had the past 2 weeks. 10th place, Jeremiah Pettit with 302 points. 9th place, Ruben Fernandez, who was your 5th place finisher at the Salt GT, coming in now in 9th place for the ITC. 8th place, Jamie Pirozzolo. Pronounce it different every week. Sorry about that, Jamie. 7th place, Ben Sherwin, taking advantage of his big win this weekend. 6th place, Mate Cesar with 339 points. 5th place, Federico Blanca Berna, nailed it. 4th place, Joshua Reisner. 3rd place, Ryan Schneider, first player to break the 400-point barrier. 2nd place, Nathan Fennell. Interesting. I talked about him. He was on the quiz. That's right. He is in 2nd place. And those of you who have been writing notes throughout the show, unlike Jim, your number one player in the ITC is David Uzawa, who was your 2nd place finisher at the Salt GT, is currently the ITC king with 466 points through 3 events.
Good for him. Good for everyone that's getting games. I hope everyone's staying safe. And makes me extremely jealous, but it is what it is. I'm happily painting away. So,
yeah, I'm kind of biding my time. It's like, I just need to get out there. Just when the time is right, I cannot wait to get out there. But in the meantime, yeah, paint away, and I'm looking forward to really banging out some terrain because I saw what some of my friends were playing with as they're testing out their streams. I'm going like, oh my God, what are you doing? So I bring my foam to the world. So there we are. One other quick programming note. We'll be adding a new feature to the Exterminatus podcast, but we need your help, you the listener. We're going to be posting this on our Facebook page. What we need from you guys, it's real simple. Just post the name of your favorite Warhammer 40,000 character, and we'll be adding them to a new segment. It'll be a big surprise in the weeks to come. So whatever your favorite character is, no judgment. Just post them on the Facebook page on the proper link, and we'll be adding them to this new feature. So,
and yeah, just for everyone, every listener to know, the correct answer is Magnus Threat.
And yes, you can use Magnus, and you can DB.
For those of you thinking doing the quiz, that is the right answer for the quiz. Magnus Threat. You did nothing wrong.
You did nothing. Ah, it's when he ripped through my army during the last RTT. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. So there we are. That is this week in Warhammer 40,000. Ray will be back with us next week. In the meantime, my name's Eric.
I'm Jim.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus podcast.